to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell Reed. Recently, I was in Toronto for a conversation with award-winning author K.D. Miller, whose collection of linked short stories, Late Breaking, has been long-listed for the Giller Prize this year. Here is my conversation with author K.D. Miller. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thanks, Chris.
K.D. Miller's stories and essays have appeared in Canadian literary magazines, have been collected in Oberon's Best Canadian Stories, the Journey Prize Anthology, and have been broadcast by the CBC. She's published several collections of stories, A Litany in Time of Plague, Give Me Your Answer, The Other Voice, and All Saints, an essay collection, Holy Writ, and a novel, Brown Dwarf. In 2014, All Saints was shortlisted for the 2014 Rogers Writers Trust Award and named as one of the year's best by Globe and Mail. Her latest short story collection, Late Breaking, was inspired by the paintings of Alex Colville and published by Biblioasis in 2018. It was named one of the best of 2018 by the Globe and Mail, shortlisted for the Trillium Award, longlisted for the Toronto Book Award, and recently we learned it was longlisted for the Giller Prize. Very good to have you with us, Kathleen, and congratulations on being longlisted for the Giller this year. Could you tell me a little bit about what it means as an author to be honored like that?
It is mind-blowing, quite frankly, and the odd thing is that while I'm very, very honored and very grateful, as a writer, you know, when I go to my desk in the morning with my hot cup of tea or coffee, it's tea these days, and start to write, I have to put that stuff out of my mind, because if I don't, it's quite intimidating. Suddenly you get the feeling that people are looking over your shoulder.
I don't know if a lot of people would think about that, the fact that maybe you feel that there are more expectations made of you
as
a result of this.
And more expectations that I make of myself. Something creeps in, you know, is this good enough for X prize? You know, will a jury, you know, will this catch the eye of a jury? And this is not conducive to good writing.
So in a way, as a writer myself, I'm always aware that in the back of my mind, I feel like I'm writing for someone.
Yes.
And maybe the for someone shifts a little bit when you have a bunch of awards behind your name.
Because it does. It shifts in a way that isn't always good. Yes, you do write for someone. Your ideal reader is interested, wants to be engaged, but is not easy to engage necessarily.
That's so true.
That has nothing to do with prizes, really. It has to do with the wonderful relationship between writer and reader.
I agree. And it can contribute to the voice that you're using to tell the story, if you have an ideal reader in your mind, of course.
Yes, it can.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about your wonderful collection of stories, Late Breaking, which I thought were just brilliant.
Thank you.
They're not too easy to read, but they're beautiful to read. And what I found was, of course, that you've made them linked together quite a bit. You've linked one character to the other, and I found myself turning back from time to time to find out who it was we were talking about in a later story. I guess it must have been a little bit complicated to weave all those people together.
I've had people ask me if I drew up charts or spreadsheets or so on, and this is not the case. To some degree, I follow my characters around and see what they're going to do. I have to say that once I got really into the collection Late Breaking, I just couldn't wait to get to my desk every morning and find out what that little community of people was doing. And what's really fun is when you have, you know, a very minor character in one story and then suddenly you go, wait a minute, I want to know more about that guy or that woman. So you give them their own story. Great fun.
It is great fun, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
It's so rewarding. And you actually become very attached. You almost fall in love with your characters.
Yes, you do. They're like imaginary friends or something.
You actually used paintings by Alex Colville as, I don't know whether to call it inspiration for the book or whether to call it something else, but
well,
motivation.
Whatever it was, it just bonked me over the head in August of 2014 when I went to the Art Gallery of Ontario for the Colville exhibit, because I knew that I'd always liked Alex Colville. I like his creepiness, I like his edginess, I like the direct gaze, sometimes literally, that you get from his paintings. And I was standing in the middle of the room at the AGO, surrounded by these, and the phrase, the Colville stories, came into my mind. And I knew I had my next book, and it was so exciting.
That could be very exciting.
Yes.
Of course, then you have to write them. But
of course, yes. And it took 4 years, but it was a good 4 years.
Yeah. I wish I could talk far more about them, but we have a limited time today, unfortunately. But I want to talk about the workshop you're giving at the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts,
yes.
Which you're calling the Captive Moment.
Yes.
Ekphrastic writing and inspired by paintings. Maybe you could give us a very quick definition of the word ekphrastic.
Well, ekphrastic writing is writing that is inspired in some way by visual art. And a very well-known example of that, of course, is Keats's Ode on a Grecian Urn. So, yes, I use the paintings of Alex Colville. I have laminated reproductions of 12 of his paintings. I set them up in the room on little easels so that people can wander around as if they're in a gallery initially and take them in. And I urge people to make notes on these paintings, what they like, what they dislike, especially if there's something that they find disturbing or off-putting. Mm-hmm. Try to figure out what that is and just make notes. And then we do various writing exercises based on the paintings. We address ourselves to people in the paintings. We try to decide what happened just before the moment of the painting or what happened just after, because that's the thing about Colville. You always get the feeling that you're into a particular moment and something either has just happened or is just about to happen. I think that's the edginess of those paintings.
In fact, what you're looking at may be even only tangential to the story.
And
your stories in Late Breaking reflect this. I know there may be just a little tiny bit of a painting that you've taken and expanded into your story. Now, you'll also be taking part in a panel discussion, in fact, with me, as a matter
yes.
of fact, about sharing across the arts, which will be at 12:15 to 12:45 on the Saturday. And so could you tell us how you're looking forward to that?
I really am. First of all, I love the theme of the festival this year, sharing across the arts, because I've always felt that the arts spoke to each other and had a great deal to do with each other. My own background is theater. I did not study creative writing. I studied acting and directing.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
And I use what I learned as an actor and as a director when I'm writing a scene or when I'm exploring a character on the page. And in fact, I teach a workshop called The Page is a Stage, and it's about scene structure. So, I think the arts definitely bleed into each other.
That's wonderful.
And sustain each other.
Yeah, I think it'll be great fun to talk about that. It can happen in so many ways. I mean,
yes,
there are the paintings inspiring the. There's also music inspiring mm-hmm. poetry or.
Or you go and see a play or a movie, mm-hmm. and you come out with an idea for a story. Sure. Years and years ago, I had my portrait painted, and the artist came to my home and photographed me. Took several photographs, and then he said, "Could I have 2 CDs of your favorite music contrasting?" Mm-hmm. And so I gave him something by Leonard Cohen and then some medieval music recorded by the Toronto Consort. He said, "I want to play the music while I'm painting you." And I thought that was really interesting.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I just wanted to ask you one more question, and then I'm going to ask you to read. You published a poetry collection recently.
Yes.
Are you going to read any poetry at the festival?
Yes, at the final mishmash of poets and musicians and all that stuff. I think I've been given 4 minutes to read some poetry. My poetry chapbook is called Elder Heart. It was published by Aeolus House in Toronto. It's a suite of poems that tell the story of a late life love affair that fails.
And that never happens, as we know.
Oh, of course not. No.
Well, I really look forward to that. We'll look forward to having you as a guest at the Festival of the Arts on October 24th to 26th at St. Peter's Anglican Church in Cobourg.
Really looking forward to it myself, Chris.
Now, to finish us off, could you read us a brief passage from your Giller long-listed collection of linked short stories called Late Breaking?
Absolutely.
And just set it up briefly if you need. Oh, maybe you don't need to.
Actually, it's from the beginning of the story, so I don't really have to set it up. The story involved is called Flesh, and I'll just read a few pages. The younger women, not many of those, are the modest ones, undressing awkwardly under towels they've tucked round themselves. Women more Harriet's age get matter-of-factly naked and take their time squeezing into their bathing suits, not seeming to care how they jiggle or bulge. Have we all just given up? Harriet thinks, hanging her suit on a hook in one of the shower stalls and rinsing down. Or is this wisdom? What she'd really like to do is set up her easel in a corner of the change room. She's never seen so much mature, naked flesh together in one spot. She would enjoy capturing the soft weight of buttock and breast with chalk on rough paper. "Boobs and nipples and bums, oh my, boobs and nipples and bums," she chants in her head as she pulls her bathing suit on over her wet skin and follows the others out to the pool. She's always liked to look at naked bodies, the fleshier the better. She loved life class when she was a student, especially when the model was a large woman with lots of swellings and folds. This is Harriet's first time at Aquafit. Her doctor has told her to take off 15 pounds, so she's trying to get more exercise. She stands waiting near the edge of the pool with the rest of the class. They all chatter familiarly with each other, having obviously done this for ages. One or two give a kind, welcoming smile to Harriet, who smiles back, but does not join in. "My daughter, my husband, my son, my niece, my dog, the my litany." She could do it too. "My husband Halver, who drowned at the cottage while I was arguing with the radio. My son Ranald, the gay architect, whom I can hardly stand. My son-in-law Patrick, whom I wish was my son." What is it in aid of, this constant other-directed talk? She's always wondered if it isn't in fact some kind of bluff. For all their giving and sharing, there's something essentially secretive about women, tucked up inside, not like men, hanging and swinging for all the world to see. Whenever she's been in a group of women going my this and my that, the phrase "sitting on our secrets" has gone through her mind. She imagines being able to enter and travel her own vagina. What would she find in there? Cave paintings? Glittering cities? An entire alternate universe? Maybe that's what men are trying to do with their relentless push, push, push. Explore, discover, claim.
Many thanks, Katie Miller, for making this show today and for telling us about your workshop and all the other ways in which you're contributing to the Spirit of the Hills Festival on October 26th at St. Peter's Church in Coburg. Thank you for being with us.
And thank you, Chris. This was fun.
To register or buy tickets for the events at the festival, go to spiritofthehills.org and click on the Buy Tickets button. Eventbrite can also be accessed through the festival's blog, spiritofthehills.wordpress.com. That was my recent conversation with K.D. Miller, and I'd like to thank her for joining us this week on Word on the Hills. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.